More and more often, I am coming across people who are good Catholic people who are having a strange set of circumstances going on with their faith. These people, for the most part, continue to come to Mass. They continue to do everything they've always done, but they seem to have, when they finally sit down and are talking to me, they seem to have a dryness in their faith. And usually they say things like, I don't have the spiritual energy that I used to have. I'm not able to say as many prayers as I want to. I'm tired. The thought of getting up and getting dressed and going to daily Mass is getting harder and harder for me, and things like that. It's a dryness in the faith that sounds a whole lot like what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson from John 15 today. We are created by God as His children to flourish and grow and produce spiritual fruit. We are not created to wither away and dry out. And when we do, and we feel that happening, we need to make some changes. You know, we understand, many of us, and I put myself at the top of the list, how when you plant something in your yard or in a pot on your back porch, is what I'm notorious for, they have to be tended. They have to be taken care of and watched over. It got so bad in my household that everything I tried to put in big plants on our back porch over multiple cities, I wound up killing them. Usually by overwatering, or watering at the wrong time, or watering too much when I shouldn't be. And the only way I could resolve that to my satisfaction was to buy some of the most realistic looking plastic ficus plants and put them in big pots on our back porch. And they looked real, but they were not. They were fake. We are a lot like, exactly like, plants that need nourishing. Our faith is centered totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard how he described it. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. You are connected to me. My life flows from me to you. And you are able to produce fruit because of my life flowing into you. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Zero, zip, nada. Jesus didn't say those words. But it's the same point. Apart from him, we cannot produce. We must be nourished by him, connected to him. It's amazing how in John's gospel, in just a short passage we had today from John 15, it's part of a chapter that uses the word remain. Now the Greek word that's used is meno. It's used 10 times in John chapter 15. Remain in me, as I remain in you. You must abide or remain in me as I abide in you. 10 times just in John 15. And in all of John's gospel, that verb, remain, is in there 40 times. Do you think this is an important concept that John is giving to us from the Lord Jesus? Remain in him. Remain in him as he already remains in you. And if that weren't enough, in John's three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John in the New Testament, that verb meno, remain, is in there 27 times. John has a point to make about being aware constantly of our precious connection and remaining in the love and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not take it for granted. Now, the world is seductive. The enemy is seductive. It tries to distract us and detract us, giving us all sorts of other things to worry about and ponder about. And we saw that even in Scripture. You remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened while Martha was working in the kitchen and taking care of everything. And we're told in that little passage in Luke's gospel that Martha's serving drove her to distraction. Well, we let things drive us to distraction too. And when they do, we take our eyes over what's really important. Martha, in that little passage, goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, don't you even care that I'm doing all the work in here and my lazy, no good for nothing sister, he didn't say those words, my sister Mary's sitting here doing nothing. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried and distracted and troubled by so many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the best part. We must remember to choose the best part, our connection and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone was talking to me, we were having an extended chat session, and he said that he is at the point where he can't even focus anymore at work or at home because everything going on in the world is troubling him. He's at the point where he cannot even sleep at night because he's watching the 24-hour nausea news networks. And he is getting angrier and angrier. And he's wondering why he's not able to pray anymore. I said, well, guess what? You're majoring in the minors there. Only one thing is necessary. Now, when we look around and see what is going on in the world, we're looking through our own eyes and through our own limitations. And we ought to feel helpless because we are. We could really do nothing about bringing order and calm and peace to college campuses on our own. We can really do nothing about countries that are on the verge of exploding and some that have exploded. We really can't. Worrying about it night and day will simply give us ulcers. We must remember, though, that the New Testament teaches us in Romans 8:28 through the words of St. Paul that in everything that is going on, God is working together for good. In everything. Now, we don't know how God is going to make good happen out of fighting in the Gaza Strip. We don't know how he's going to make good happen over an escalating war in Ukraine. We don't know how he's going to do that. But when we look at the world with our own limitations, we know that we can't. But he can. The riches and the treasure house of heaven are not empty. We are to ask and we shall receive. Remember that the one we're connected to, grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, is unlimited in what he can do and has done and will continue to do. We focus on his limitless power, not on our absence of power. When we're told in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it doesn't say, I can do all things. Because I can't. Because apart from the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. But if we live into our connection to him, his life force flows into us. And we can do things that we can't even imagine when we pray and offer ourselves to the Lord for Him to use. Remember, there are things that when we ask for them from Him, He gives to us. And that doesn't include new sports cars or new houses or new, doesn't include any of that. It includes the spiritual gifts that He has for us. The fruit that we are to produce in our lives is listed for us in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, courage, mercy, compassion. Those are gifts. So I told a group of children a couple of years ago, I said, wouldn't it be silly if you got a whole bunch of presents and they were brought to you in your bedroom and you put them on your bed and then never opened them? Brothers and sisters, that's what we do. We don't open the gifts that He gives to us. When we ask with a humble, grateful heart, He gives us from His storehouse in heaven on the condition that we share those gifts with others. Immediately. What good does patience do us if He gives it to us and we never use it? We give it just unwrapped. So we can look at it and go, oh, that's a whole bunch of patience there if I ever need it. No, we share it. We are engrafted into the Lord who loves us. His life force flows into us. That should be on our mind day and night. And if it's not, guess what happens to us? I've been there. We start drying out. We start withering away. And we wonder why we don't have any prayer energy anymore. Because we don't ask with a grateful heart. Asking in advance, knowing He's going to give us what we need in every circumstance to be able to pass on the joy that's in His heart that He gives to us that we can share with others. One of the things I do now when I get asked, people come in and ask me to do a little analysis of them, where they are spiritually. If I don't see any joy, then there's a problem. Joy is the sign that the Spirit is working in us so that we can share that joy with others. And that's what we're here for. We are here to flourish and grow and spread precious fruit of the Spirit with others. We're not here to wither away and dry out. Remember that when you come in joy to this table, and let your joy be full. Jesus said, I want my joy to be in you, because when my joy is in you, my joy is complete. Let us complete His joy by remembering who we're connected to and be thankful and grateful to Him so that we can spread the joy in a world that is withering away in too many ways. And we know the answer to that, to have them connect back to the true vine, our Lord Jesus.